On the top of Daf Ches Amud Aleph, if you recall, the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Beis had a suffix. How do we evaluate, how do we classify a karka as either idis, beninis, or ziburis? Do we use the standards of Mishalo? That means we take a look at what he has, the best of what he has is idis, his worst is Ziburis, or Bishal Olam Haim Shaman. We evaluate it based on the market value. The first definition, Bishalo, is subjective. The second definition of Bishal Olam is objective. Now the Gemara gives us the following case. We know that there are three categories of what we call noshim. Noshim means collectors. There is the nizak, who's collecting the compensation for his damage. There is a balchov, who's collecting the loan. And finally, there's the isha, who's collecting her ksuba when it's time to collect the ksuba. And the halacha is that the nizak collects from the mazik idis, that's derived from meitav. The balchov collects from beninis. Could be that miikra din, as we'll see later, he collects from ziburis, but the rabbanim made a takana to allow the balchov, the lender, to collect from beninis. They jacked it up by one. Kadesh lo tinol delis mfnei lovin. And finally, the isha collects haksuba from ziburis. Now let's assume, we've discussed these three noshim, let's assume that we have one chayav, meaning one individual who has to pay up all these three. He's at the same time a mazik, he's a baal who divorced his wife, and he's a lover who borrowed money. What does he have in his possession, this chayav, or mechuyav? He's got, let's say, idis, beninis, and ziburis. If he has all three, then everything is fine, everything is smooth. The nizak will collect from his idis, the balchov from his beninis, and the isha from his ziburis. But what happens, that's the case here on Daf Chesom and Alf on top, idis viziburis, all he has in his possession, this mechuyav, is idis and ziburis. Is the halacha is that nizakin beidis? That's pretty straightforward. Let the nizak collect from the mazik's idis. The mazik has idis. Balchov uksubas isha beziburis. The balchov, who normally would collect from beninis, but there is no beninis, and he goes down to ziburis. He doesn't collect from idis, because again, min haTorah, he doesn't have rights to anything but ziburis. The chacham jacked him up to beninis. But if the lova, the mechuyav, has no karka beninis, then we go back to the ikar adin, which is govim miziburis. That's far as the balchov. And of course, the isha is going to collect as usual from the ziburis, because she always collects from ziburis. Kitani Mia Mitzia, amongst the various scenarios that were addressed in this Braisa, we have the middle case in the Braisa, which means that the Chayev has only Beninis and Ziburis. Not the case that we mentioned before, where he has Idis and Ziburis, and we drop the Balchov down to Beninis. In this case, the Chayev has Beninis, so he can certainly supply the Balchov with Beninis. He has ziburis in his possession. He can certainly pay up the ksuba with ziburis. But how's he going to pay the nizak? And the law is, and that we saw back on Daf Zayin, nizakin ubalchov bebeninis. That in this case, since the nizak has no possibility of collecting idis, then he collects the best, which is beninis. Of course, the isha will collect ziburis, and there's no reason why the balchov, the malva, shouldn't collect beninis. Oh, now the Gemara has a proof. The e amrit bishalohein shamin if we should evaluate the karka not by objective standards, but let's look at the karkos that he has, then what we call beninus here has got to be called idis by definition, because he doesn't have anything better than this beninus. So the highest quality karka he has is the beninus. And that, therefore, by standards, by subjective standards of Bishaloin Shom, it becomes Teosa Ben Nishaloki Idis, becomes Idis. And if that be the case, right, the Docha Balchov Eitzel Ziburis. As we said before, if there's only Idis and Ziburis, the Balchov gets knocked down to that which was his Iker Adin, and he could only claim Ziburis. Here we're giving the Balchov the ability to collect Beninus when this Beninus is really in truth Idis from the subjective standard of all the Karkos in the possession of the Mechuyah. The only way we could possibly understand that this is called Beninus, and therefore the Balchov has rights to collect Beninus, and it's not Idis even though it's the Lova's best Karka that he has, it must be that this definition of Beninus comes from the objective market value, which means Bishal Olam Hein Shomin. Not Bishal Olam Hein Shomin, Ela Bishal Olam Hein Shomin. So the Gemara says, no. You know what? Let's go back to Bishal Olam Hein Shomin. You'll ask me a question as to why the Balchov should have in this case rights to collect Beninus. After all, that Beninus is really Ziburus. The Balchov has no right to Idis. That Beninus is really Idis. The answer is Kigon Shahoisalo Idis Umachara. What happened is that we go back to the critical moment of the time of the loan, when Reuven extended a loan to Shimon. At that moment in time, Reuven the Lover had in his possession Idis, meaning he had a karka that was higher quality than what we call today Beninus. In the meantime, subsequent to the loan, he sold that piece of karka. He no longer has that Idis, but nevertheless, at the moment of the Alvah, his Beninus was Beninus. Again, Bishalo Ein Shamin, we're going to look at it subjectively, but his Beninus was Beninus, because he had three qualities of karka. So the Shibud, meaning the lien, L-I-E-N, that gives the Malva rights to collect from the karka the Lova, is formed, is Chal, on the Beninus. And even though today, Bishas Piron Chov, when the Malva comes to collect his chov, a month later, a year later, now there is no Idis. That Idis is long gone, it's been sold. But nevertheless, the Balchov, this Malva, had already a Shibud that he clinched on this particular karka called Beninus. There's no way that by virtue of the sale of the Idis, the Shibud of the Malva on the Beninus is Paka. That Shibud of the Malva survives despite the Mechira, because it was Chal, Bishas, Halva. There's nothing to undermine and neutralize that Shibud. And the truth is that it could be the Balchov still has his Shibud on the Idis. That's going to come under long discussion later. Does the Balchov lose and forfeit his Shibud on Idis? Well, actually, you could say that a Balchov never had a Shibud on Idis. That's only in terms of Befal, to collect from the Idis, but you know, the situation and the quality of the Idis might go down, it might get, or maybe the rest of his karkos will be lost in a flood. So there is still a potential Shibud on the Idis. And therefore, if what's left in the possession of the Lova is Beninus and Ziburis, certainly the Balchov has rights to collect the Beninus. And that's even if we hold Bishalo Hein Shom. B'chein Omer Rav Chisda Kagon Shaislo Idis Umachara. Fine. Now the Gemara wants to support this approach. Hachinam Mistabra, it's logical to assume that this is actually the scenario that the Bryce is addressing, where he had Idis, this Lova, and he sold it. Miriktoni Achriti. We have another Bryce, and we'd love to reconcile all the Bryces. The Bryce says, Beninus Viziburis, if the Mechuyav has Beninus and Ziburis. Mizakim v'beinis, Balchov k'suv isha v'ziburis. Now all of a sudden we drop the Balchov down to ziburis. Kashin ha'adadi. Now we have an explicit collision between the two brises. One brises says that if the lova has beinis and ziburis, the Balchov collects the beinis. This brise that we just presented now maintains that if the lova has beinis and ziburis, the Balchov is reduced. He's lowered to the ziburis. Elav shmamino. The answer is kan shahoy salo idisu mechara kan shaloi salo idisu mechara. The difference is that in the first case of the brisa number one that allows the balchov, the malva, to collect from beninis, that's because the shibud of the balchov was chal on that beninis from the get-go, from the time malva, insofar as the lovad idis which he sold. The second brisa, which lowers the status of the collection rights of the malva down to ziburis, that's because the balchov, that's because the lova never had idis in his possession, and therefore the beninis becomes idis. Again, it's a little strange because the word beninis here is ambiguous. The word beninis here, although it does seem to indicate that we define it as beninis based on the olam, but nevertheless, it doesn't mean that it's his beininess. So we borrow the term beininess to describe a certain objective quality, but as far as the mechuyev is concerned, in this case the lova, it is really idis. And just to quote the language of the Shita Mekubetzes here, in the name of the Mari Katz, af im bishaloein shomin shayach lekrosa beininess kevin shi beininess eitzel rova olam. In other words, as far as halacha, as din is concerned, it is as a chaloshem idis, and that's vis-a-vis the person who owns the karka. But we're going to borrow the term beninis from the bishal rova olam, even though bishalo ain't shaman, even though it's really idis al pi din. So again, if this mechuyev has, in the best case scenario, the best karka that he ever had and he ever will have, his beninis, that beninis becomes alpi din ziburis. We're only borrowing the term beninis from Rov Ha'ola. Now the Gemara says, ve'ibayis ema, the Gemara is offering an alternative to accept the other possibility, because again, we're still vacillating back and forth as to whether b'shal olam ein shamin, is idi ve'idi shalo haisa lo idis umechara. He never, the mechuyev never had idis in his possession. Velo kasha, and we can reconcile the contradiction, the apparent contradiction between the brises. Ha de shavya ha beninis shalo ke idis di alma. Vekan de lo shavya ha beninis shalo ke idis di alma. Now we're going to insist that bishel olam hein shamin. Okay, and even though Bishal Olam Hein Shamin, nevertheless, it's very possible that what the Lova possesses, even though it's Beninis, nevertheless it's called Idis. And that's how Pidin it's called Idis. So relative to the various qualities of karka that the lova owns, this is the middle level, it's beninis. But the beninis of the lova in this case is equal to idis, and the chaloshem idis al pi halacha is determined by rov ha'olam. Now we're holding b'shel olam ein shamin. And therefore the balchov, who has a din to collect with beninis, he's going to collect in the second vice that we learned from ziburis. Why is he collecting from ziburis of the malva? Why is he collecting from the ziburis of the lova? And the answer to that question is because that ziburis, if defined in objective terms by Bishal Olam Ein Shamin, is actually beninis. And since Balchov Midrabanon Shalotin Al Delos Feilovin has rights to collect from beninis, in this case he can collect from beninis. Oh, what about the first brisa? Brisa number one is he doesn't have beninis that's worth idis the alma. and therefore from the standards of the entire world, he doesn't have, his Beinonis is not defined as Iddis, but rather as Beinonis. And therefore, the Baal Chov will collect Beinonis. So when the Baal Chov's Beinonis is equal to Iddis the Alma, that's Braisa number two, and therefore the Malva, the Baal Chov has no rights to collect anything but Ziburis. And why does he go down to Ziburis? Because that Ziburis has the status of Beinonis, because his Beinonis is the status of Iddis all by the objective standard Shel Olam. But not so in the case of the Bryce that allows the Malva to collect from Beinonis. That's because the Beinonis that he has is not like Iddis, but it's really Beinonis by objective standards. V'ibayis Ema. And finally, Gemara gives a third answer to reconcile the prices. Idi v'idi kigon shahoisa Beinonis shalo ke Beinonis di alma. In both prices, the Beinonis is Beinonis by objective terms. V'hacha b'ha pligi mar sav b'shalo ein shamin umar savar b'shal olam ein shamin. Meaning, the stira between the two prices is really irreconcilable, and it's just a reflection of the machlokas here of the two tzadim in our suffix. We're going to say about one brisa that we'll call it brisa number two, bishalohein shamin, and therefore, according to the second brisa, the Baal Chov collects ziburis. Why? Because relative to the various karkos in the possession of the loveh, the Beinonis is Iddis, because that's the best that he has, best that he ever had. And the Baal Chov has no right to collect from Iddis, therefore he goes down to Ziburis if there's no Beinonis. The first Braisa, which maintained that the Baal Chov can collect from Beinonis, that Braisa is maintaining Bishel Olam Ein Shamin. And since his Beinonis is Beinonis by standards of the entire world, even though relative to him it's Iddis, the Baal Chov has rights to collect the Beinonis. Now, we thought that we had enough answers to reconcile the theorem and the Brises, but Ravina decides that, you know what, he wants to add his explanation to boot. Ravina Amar Bidu'ula Pligi, the subject of the Machlokes between these two Brisos is the statement of Ula. The Omar Ula Dvar Torah Baal Chov Biziburis. Ula has a very sophisticated drasha Yalfusa to teach him to derive the conclusion that Baal Chov, according to the Torah law, collects from Ziburis. And in fact, the Gemara Gittin quotes Rav Shimon, who says that the reason why Baal Chov actually collects from Beinonis is to avoid a situation where a person might engage someone in Alva in order to collect his Iddis, and therefore they lowered his rights to Beinonis. That Shita of Rav Shimon obviously disagrees with Ula, because Ula is saying that the rights of Baal Chov doesn't have rights to collect anything better than Ziburis. It's the, according to Ula, it's the Chachamim who are going to jack up the rights of the Baal Chov to collect to Beinonis. According to Rav Shimon, apparently the rights of Baal Chov can collect from Iddis. The Chacham made a takana Arab to be mafkia the Baal Chov from collecting Iddis, so the sharp jewel, you know, the shiny, the Iddis karka of the lova will not tempt and allure people or a particular person, a malvit, to lend him money in order to hopefully collect the Iddis. So again, the two polar extremes here. There's one polar extreme that Midrash, the Baal Chov, can collect from Iddis, and the Rabbanim reduced the rights of the Baal Chov down, lowering it down to Beinonis. Or the other extreme, that Midrash, the Baal Chov, can only collect from Ziburis, and the Chacham upgraded him and gave him the ability to collect from Beinonis. Now, that second opinion is Ula's opinion. The first opinion was Reb Shimon and Gittin. And Ula tries to derive this halacha, the Baal Chov, b'dereisa, is miziburis, from the pasuk of Avot. Avot means mashkon, which means that the lova can give collateral over to the malva. And in such a case, the Torah governs and dictates many dinim and mitzvahs. Vachutz tamod, meaning the malva has to stay outside the house of the lova. Va'ish asher tanosher bo yotzi elechas over achutza. For example, let's say the mashkin goes back to the lova at night, and then back to the malva in the morning. The malva has to wait patiently outside of the house of the lova until the lova brings the ovud back. Now, this act of the lova bringing out the mashkon is going to be a paradigmic of what the lova passes on, transfers over to the malva as payment in the case where he doesn't have cash assets and he can only pay with karka. So the paradigm here is the lova not paying up the chov, that's going to be the derivative, but rather the lova giving over an avut to the malva. Ma darko shel adam lahotzi lachutz. And now the lova has his choice, what quality of an object he's going to give to the malva, who's waiting outside patiently, as a mashkon, as collateral. Hapochos shebekalim, the assumption is he's not going to give him the most expensive, but rather the cheapest. And now in the nimshal, or shall we say in the nilmad, we have again the same structure. This time the lova is not giving a mashkon, but he's actually paying up with karka. He's going to pay up with ziburis. Oh, but yet we know that a balchov collects from beninus. Says ulo ma tam omru balchov bebeninus kadei shlo tinol deles bifnei lovin. You know, if we put the malva into such a tight situation that in the best case scenario only be able to collect from ziburis, you know, why do I need this headache? Says the malva, why should I lend money, and at the end of the day, this money which I could have used to buy idis, I'm going to end up with ziburis. So we're going to be discouraging malves to lend money, which means we're going to put loves into a very dire straits where they can't get anyone to lend them money. And that's the takana that they made, shalotinol delis bifnei lovin. And the Gemara seems to assume here that this is the chiddush of Ula, and it's not something that we knew before. But yet, in the Mishnah itself, in Gittin Memches, it says, Bal Chov is Govim Mibeninus. So perhaps what Ula is telling us here is that one of the Brises accepts that Mishnah. And that's what the Gemara says, Mar, the Tana of Rishona, that's the Brise of Rishona number one, Islay Takanta de Ula. He assumes that a Bal Chov could collect from Beninus. And that's why if the lova has beninus and ziburis, the balchov can collect from beninus. Umar lesle takanta di ula, which means that we go back to the dindo raisa, that a balchov can only collect from ziburis. We never accepted the takana as formulated by ula, jacking up the rights of the malva to collect from beninus. So we remain with the deraisa halach, the balchov can only collect like the Din Torah with Ziburis, and that's the second Braisa that maintains that the Balchov in this case collects from Ziburis. So in other words, even if the Lova, let's say, had not only Ziburis, but he had Idis as well, and let's say he had Beninus too, the Balchov cannot collect anything more than ziburis, because there never was a takana on his behalf. Now it's interesting that the Braisa number two did not mention a hechatimtza where the lova had idis, and if the Braisa would have mentioned that, it would have been a little bit clearer that in the best case scenario the malva can only collect from ziburis. So if Braisa number two would have addressed the case where the lova has idis, then the other karka that he has in his possession would be beninus, either by standards of b'shalo ein shamin or by standards of b'shalo lo ein shamin. But the balchov nevertheless could not collect from that Beit Hadas because the takana of Ula was never accepted, and the Baal Chov can never collect more than Ziburis. Now, in a case where the Baal Chov, where the Lov doesn't have any, he doesn't have any Ziburis, he has Idis and Beinanis, let's say if we go B'shal Olam Ein Shamin, then by default the Baal Chov and the Isha will collect from Beinanis, as we discussed earlier. Tosfos here, Dira Maschil Mar, has a different Shita. He assumes that in the second Brisa, where it says that the Baal Chov collects from Ziburis, that's a case where the Lova has no Idis. And since the Lova has no Idis, his Beinanis becomes Idis. And since his Beinanis becomes Idis, that's what the second Brisa says, that the Lova, the Malva doesn't have rights to collect from Beinanis, which means Beinanis the Alma, Beinanis by the standards of the world, because that becomes the Idis of the Nizak. And all this is explained in the Gemara, says Tosfos in Gittin Daf Mem Tesem and Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Let's go on to the Gemara. The Brisa now teaches us that if a person is mechuyev to three, he's mechuyev to a nizak, he's mechuyev to his malve, he's mechuyev to his isha, and he has three levels of karka. He's got idis, beidinis, and ziburis. That was a classical case that we discussed earlier. Machar li echad olishlosha bre adam ke echad kulam nichnasu tachas habayim. If this mechuyev sells his three karkos, so either it doesn't matter whether he sells it to one individual or he sells it to three individuals, but ke'echad, meaning simultaneous. So there's no way he could say that one shibud came before the other. So the shibudim are all divvied up amongst these three noshim equally. Is kulam nichnasu tachas habayim, it means each noshe collects what's coming to him, the Nizak from Idis, the Baal Chov from Beinanis, and the Isha from Ziburis. But now the Brisa gives us a little bit more of a complicated case. We'll call this the Sefer the Brisa. And here, three people bought the karkos of the Mechuyov, but Zeh Acher Zeh. Not Bevasachas, not Ke'echad, but rather in sequence. Is then Govim mina Achron. So there were three buyers, three Lekuchos. And the first two Lekuchos left Karka, which is called Bnei Chori, in the hands of the Mechuyev. And we have a law that we're going to get into here on Daf Ches Amid Beis, that Ein Govim mina Chosim Meshubadim Emakum Sheyesh Nechosim Bnei Chori. Bnei Chori means that which is in the possession of the Mechuyov. Mishubadim is a reference to those karkos that were sold to a lokeach. And the law is that the lokeach is not responsible, he's not like an arev, if the Mechuyov himself has Bnei Chori, has karka in his possession. In other words, in this case that the Mechuyov sold three karkos, the third buyer is not able to say, well, I left Karka B'nei Chorin in the hands of the Mechuyev. The first two buyers could say, well, we're not really responsible, at least not at this point, because we left B'nei Chorin, and you cannot collect from Mishubadim as long as there is B'nei Chorin. And therefore, in this case, is Kulam Govim in Achron, that means the third Lokeach, he's the one who picked up the karka mishubedes, right? Because, again, that was Bnei Chori. And what he bought is the karka that's first on the firing line, that's first responders to pay up the chov of the lova. But ein lo, let's say the last lokeach does not have enough karka to pay up all three of them, is Gova Mishalifanov, Ein Lo Gova Mishalifnei Fanov. So it's the reverse sequence. The last one to buy is the first one to pay. If that doesn't cover all the notion, then the next to the last one to buy, he's lokeach number two, he has to pay the noshim. And if that doesn't leave all the noshim satiated, then the first of the lokhim, who seemed to be least responsible, therefore he's last to get collected from, he's last on the chopping board, he's going to pay the third noshim. Then the Gemara wants to clarify this b'raisa and compare the ratio to the sefer. And the ratio says, machron li echad, that all three karkos, the edis, the beinis, the brus, was sold to one person. It was only one buyer. Hechi dami. What's the case? Elamer will assume, bivas achas, meaning there was one kinyan in which the lokeach purchased all three karkos. Let's say the kinyan shtar, for example, where the shtar is chal on all three karkos simultaneously. His Gemara doesn't understand this, because hashta l'shlosha. Now you're telling me that if there were three people who purchased the karka, right? Because if you remember, the Braisa gave two scenarios. One is where he sold all three karkos to one person, and the other is where he sold three karkos to three different people simultaneously. If you've already told me in the second scenario that l'shlosha, if three people buy the karka ke'echad, is the equal of meimar chad minayu kodim, and is some havamina that you would say that maybe the shtar of one of them came first, after all, you can't give all three karkos exactly at the same second. And nevertheless, amrit, we say, kula nichnasu tachas abaylim, because when we look at the shtaros, you know, every sale requires a shtar mechira, this document doesn't indicate which sale was first. And let's assume, for example, that if there's a date in the document, the document is chal b'sof hayom, at the last moment of that date. So for all three people, at the end of that day, which is the date of recording in the shtar, they all coded together. Is machron li echad mi boy? What chiddush does the Braisa feel compelled to tell me that if he sold all three karkos with one shtar to one person? I mean, that's upgrade. That's certainly simple. That each collector, each nosha, will collect kedino. I mean, there's no other logical possibility. Elapshita, then in order to establish some sort of chiddush in the ratio, in the case of Adam Echad, you're going to have to say bazech or zeh. That even though there was one lokeach, but he bought the three karkos, the idis, the brus, and beinis, one subsequent to the other. And in that case, the b'raisa is being mechadish a chiddush, that every one of the noshim will collect kedino. We don't say that they all should be collecting from the third karka. And now the Gemara has to analyze that halacha in the light of the sefer. Maishna shlosha t'chol chad v'chad omale hinachti l'cha makom ligvos mimenu hainami yakol chad v'chad lemale hinachti l'cha makom ligvos mimenu. The Gemara doesn't understand. What difference does it make between three buyers, one subsequent to the other? And as we said before, the one who's on the chopping line is the third buyer, because he's picking up the B'nai Chori, meaning the last karka to be B'nai Chori. That's where the Shibud is Chal. And the case where he sold three karkos b'zech or zeh to one person, nevertheless, that one individual who purchased the three karkos has the right to say to the nosheh, don't collect from the karka that I bought first or second, because he nachti l'chol makom likvos mimenu. I left you that third karka to collect as b'nei chori from the mechuyah. And the Gemara answers, hocha mayaskinon kigon shalokach idis bachrona. And here the Gemara tries out a brand new svara. I'm not sure if this svara is going to hold water. We'll see. It's going to really come under attack. That since the third karka that this individual, again, there's only one buyer, but the third karka that he purchased on the third date, the latest date, is idis. And therefore, this lokeach, again, there's only one, he's going to say to the noshim, you know what, I left karka for you to collect. Correct? Because the last piece of karka was Ivis. And that's the one that I left. Now, the Lokech Lechora is in a very precarious situation here, because if he says, well, the last karka that I left you to collect from as Bnei Chori was the Ivis, then everyone is going to collect from Ivis. So how does the Braisa insist that Kol Echad is Gove Kedino? V'chein Omer Rav Sheshes Shalokach Idis Bachrona Frekta Gemari Hachi Lesu Kulu V'ligvu Mi Idis. So if we apply the logic that the Lokech is always saying, well, I left you this karka, in this case he left the Yiddis, is everyone's going to pounce upon the Yiddis? Because that's where the Shivut is focused, on the very last karka, which was Bnei Chori. So the Gemara says, here's this new svara, Mishum di Omalahu, because this one individual buyer, the Kona, will say to the Noshim, Ishas Kisu, if you'll be quiet, you'll accept V'shaklisu kidinaihu Shaklisi. You can find, you know, just don't make a big to-do about it, and each one will collect kedino. But the ilo, if you're going to demand idis, and the reason you have rights to demand idis is because that was the last one to be sold, and that was Bnei Chori, and that's the focus and the first, you know, first chopping board collection, shibud, is then madrina shtar de ziburis lamare. You know what? I bought three different karkos. I'm going to give the ziburis back to the seller, who's the mechuyav. I can return the kinyan him, and I'm going to give the ziburis. When I give him ziburis, now look what he has. He has Bnei Chori. But what is it? It's ziburis. V'shaklisu kulam ziburis. And you'll only be able to collect from ziburis because of the rule that we mentioned before. Ein gov mi mishubad makom sheish Bnei Chori. Now, as far as Ksubas Isha is concerned, her din is to collect from Zebu, so it's not really a threat. In fact, it's possible, as I'm thinking out loud, that this threat, so to speak, is not relevant to the Nizak either, because the Nizak in any event is going to collect the Idis. And if the purpose here is to threaten him, why would he want to threaten him? I mean, at the end of the day, after the settlement, he's offering Idis. So it seems like this threat is really only relevant to the Baal Chov, because instead of the Baal Chov being allowed to collect from the last Bnei Chori, which we said was Idis, we're going to now threaten him and say, you know what, buddy, if you're not quiet, if you don't shut up, you're going to collect from Ziburis. So that's a little bit odd in this sugin. And Tosis Diram Aschil De'i has an entire discussion about this. Diram Aschil E, that's the Banam Tosa on the page. And frankly, I don't understand how Tosis wiggles his way out of the problem. But in any event, the Gemara slugs up this Svara Ihachi. If you're telling me that the buyer has the ability to threaten to return the shtar of Ziburis back to the seller, back to the Mechuyov, and then you're going to have to ask yourself, well, the Braisa says that Kol Echad Gove Kedino, which means that not only does the Niza collect from Idis, but Benizikin Nami Neba Hachi, and this threat is to the Nizak, because the Nizak has rights to collect Idis. So in general, let's ask the following question. How can the Nizak collect Idis? If there is Ziburis to be had, the Lokech could always say, you know what? I'm going to take the shtar on the ziburis and pass it back, in effect nullifying the kinyan, to the mocher, to the mazik. And then what the mazik is left with is ziburis, Bnei Chori. So how will the nizak be able to collect from lekuchos idis? Ella, the only possibility of circumventing this major gap, this major problem, is to say that the chayev, the person who was chayev, sold all his sados, and then he died. Now there are yesomim. And the Gemara says, "Biyasmei delav b'nei pironinu." The yasmei are not chayev to be porea chovos to pay up their father's debts. They can only say, "Look, if in part of the estate we inherited karkos, we'll pay from the karkos." Vishibuda delay al ledi de ramye. The shibud of the mechuyav is now incumbent upon the lokeach. So the karka that's collectible here for the various noshim is the karka of the lokeach. If the lokeach passes back his karka to whom? I mean, the mocher is gone already, to the yesomim of the mocher, is they don't have any chiv to be porea. Is hilkach leka lemeimar hachi. So the lokeach therefore cannot claim, you know what, I'm going to give the ziburis back to the mocher is dead, and if he indeed gives it back to the yorshim, then I have to be porea the chov of their father, and all the noshim are going to therefore pounce upon the lokeach in any event. So if this be the case, once we've rejected this whole svara of orale, ishaskis, etc., shaklisu, vilav, shtar ziburis, ahadri lamare, so once again, we come back to the original question, because this far to answer this question is not viable. Why does the Braisa say that everyone is gova kedino? Since the Idis was purchased last, they should all be able to collect from the Idis. Ella, the Gemara offers a different explanation of the Braisa. Mishum di omar lehu, time of my omar abonei nifra, mishubad, minachos, mishubad, makum sheish, b'nei chorin, mishum takanta di di. The whole reason why the Chazal say that the Lokeach has rights to say, don't collect from me if I left b'nei chorin in the hands of the Mechuyav, is a takanta, an enactment that was enacted in order to protect the rights of the Lokeach. Why should Lokeach have to lose when he put out money to buy something? He didn't borrow any money. Why does he have to pay? And the answer is, they made a takana that therefore the Lokeach has a right to push off any of the noshim to the Bnei Chori of the Mechuyav. Is therefore anah, therefore the Lokeach has rights to say, I don't want this takana to apply in my case. You know, Nikar Adin, it's Kalechad, Gove Kedina. But since the last karka that was purchased was Idis, therefore you want to say, well, they all should be able to pounce upon Idis. The answer is, well, why are they able to pounce on the Idis? Because the Idis was B'nei Chori, who was the last to be sold. So the buyer now says, you know what, I'm not interested in this takana. You want to tell me that you instituted a takana that protects me by saying that the B'nei Chori are collectible and not the Mishubadim that I bought? You know what, I'd rather waive that takana. And in this case, not everyone will be able to collect from Idis. Okay, the Nizak will collect from Idis, but the Balchov and the Isha will not be able to collect from Idis. And the Gemara says this is all based on the famous principle of Rava, Kiddur Rava, which appears in Ksubas and elsewhere. The Omar Rava kala Omeri Efshi v'takonis chachamim kigon zu shomim lo. Rava gives an example of, and this is real heavy, Masechet Ksubas Nara, the fourth perek. And that is Kiddur Rav Huna, the Omar Rav Huna, Yechol Isha Shetom Levaylein Yizonis Veinos. Chazal made a takana in the ksuba to obligate the Baal to support his wife, and quid pro quo, as a payment, so to speak, for this obligation of mazonos, they gave him rights to collect the maisia def. His wife works and she has income. That income accrues to the Baal because he's paying for all her or her needs. And that's takana that was made on behalf of the Isha, that sort of like to motivate her husband to support her, she offers her Maisiyah Dai. But let's say she's a very sophisticated, psychiatrist, and she gets paid by the hour an enormous sum. You know, she's making a lot of money. Then it's better for her to say, you know what, let my husband be completely exempt from having to support me, and I'd rather keep my income for myself. And that's what Rava says, that since the institution of mizonos was a takon in favor on behalf of, to protect the interests of the isha, she has a right to waive that takana if that takana works against her interest. Here also, you know, we made a takana on behalf of the lukuchos that any of the noshim should collect from the Bnei Chori. But if the lukuchos are going to lose by that, because in this case the Bnei Chori, the last karka to be bought was Idis, and therefore you're going to jack up the Balchov and the Isha to collect, give them collection rights from Idis. That's not something that the Lokech is excited about. So he declares the Efshi v'takonis chachamim, and therefore kolechad go vekedino. Now the Gemara adds the following. In this last case, that there was one individual who purchased all three karkos, and he purchased the Idis last, what happens if he, the lokeach, sells his karkos to another lokeach? So we have lokeach rishon, lokeach shein. So Gemara says the following: pshita. One din is poshut. If a man purchased all the sados of this mechuyav, and he took idis bachrona, he took idis the last, then if he goes and machar lokeach, he sells beninis viziburis. The man is lokeach sheni, v'shir idis lafanov. He held on to the idis for himself and refused to sell it. Is then leisu kula v'ligbu miidis? Why will they all collect from idis? The ha'achrona he. In other words, at the moment that the lokeach purchased the beninis and the ziburis, he left a sada, only one sada, in the hands of the mechuyav, and that sada was idis. The shibud is now of all possible notion, mishal is concentrated on this one last karka of idis, which is in the possession now of the mechuyav, and therefore the shibud is there. And that's all based on the takonis chacham that we said over and over again. In govim mishubad makom sheish bnei chorin. And therefore, even if afterwards the lokeach buys that last karka, the idis, nevertheless, the shibud is really chal on that idis. And therefore, if the lokeach, we call him lokeach rishon, now sells his karkos, let's say his beninis and his ziburis, to a third party, which we'll call the lokeach sheni, nevertheless, the lokeach rishon is holding on to idis, is responsible for all three noshim to pay them up with this idis. And even though we've explained before that a lokeach could declare any rotze yefshi b'takonis chachamim, the answer is that this takon is not litovaso. This takon was not instituted on behalf of the lokeach, because that takon litovaso of go collect from the Bnei Chori only makes sense as long as he has karkos and he has alternatives. He bought the third karka, the Yiddis, and now he wants to say Yefshi b'takonis chachom to collect from the Yiddis. I'm going to offer you beninis or ziburis. But now that he's already sold the beninis and ziburis, ubeninis ziburis less than the hukabe, he doesn't have possession anymore of the beninis ziburis. The Matzi Lememalahu, the Noshim could come along and say, Gavu mi beninis viziburis, delo nichali betakanta derabona. So this Svar of Yefshi only operates when the Lokech has a right to say, you know what, collect from beninis ziburis with my possession. I don't want the takon of Bnei Chori because the last karka was it. But in a case here where he has no karkos left, because he's already passed on the beninis and ziburis to someone else, to another lokeach sheni, as we called it. Therefore, the noshim have a right to collect from idis, because that's the only karka that he has in his possession. Aval mochar idis. If the first low calf sold idis, vishir beninis viziburis, so Gemara says, my, what's the din in this case? What the low calf Rishon is left with now in his possession is beninis viziburis. Do we say that they'll all collect from the lokeach sheni, right? Because he's got the idis, and after all, as we said earlier, the idis was the last one to be purchased from the mechuyav, and therefore the shibud was intensely chal on that because it was bnei chori. So let them go to the second lokeach, all these noshim, pounce upon his idis. Or do we say no? There's Allah of Govim Milokeach Rishon. And here we're turning to the Avches Amid Beis. Avol Mochar Idis Vashir Beninis Viziburis Mai. Sovar Abai Lemeimer. Abai thought that the logical answer should be Osukulu Govim Idis. Since there was a special Shibud on the Idis, which is the last one to be sold to Lokeach Rishon, now the Lokeach Sheni picks up those Shibudim of all the notion that are inherent in the Karka Idis, and we can cut out the Lokeach Rishon in this case. Omele Rava, Rava's not happy with this. How could it be that the Lokeach Rishon in this case is going to push off all the Noshim to the Lokeach Sheni because of the Takonis Chachom Ebnei Chori? Ma Mochar Rishon L'Sheni Kol Zchusha Tov L'Yodo. What does Lokeach Rishon have the ability to sell, and what does he sell? He sells all the Zchuyos, not just the Karka, but he sells all the Zchuyos that could come into existence, liyado, that could come into his rights. In other words, any taina that Lokeach Rishon could have, he sold over to Lokeach Sheni. And therefore, kevan deilu asu gabi Lokeach Rishon matzi agbiluhu mi beninis viziburis afal pi dechizavni beninis viziburis akati idis bnei chori havi v'ein nifroim minachasim shubodim kolzma de'ika b'nei chori is motzi omale lo nichol li b'hai takona is therefore lokeach sheni nami motzi omale gvei beninis viziburis. Go back to lokeach Rishon, right? Why? Because the sale from the Lokeach Rishon to the Lokeach Sheni includes all the skluyos and all the tainus that are relevant to this karka. The chizovin Lokeach Sheni adaiti the chol skusi davile le Rishon begavazovin. When the Lokeach Sheni purchased this karka, his understanding, his agreement was to purchase not only the karka but any rights, I should say, that the Rishon had. Now the Rishon had a right to say that efshi b'takonas chachamim, or to use the Gemara's language, lo nichali b'hai takana. And how would he implement that right? Let's talk for a moment about the lokeach Rishon, and then we'll pass this over to the lokeach Sheni. If the noshim would come to lokeach Rishon to collect from his idis, because the idis was b'nei chori, or the last one to be purchased, last one to be sold, he, the lokeach Rishon, could force them to collect from the ziburis, the beinis and ziburis that he has in his possession. And even though at the moment that he purchased the beinis ziburis from the mechuyav, there was idis b'nei chori, and therefore the Shibud is Chal and B'nei Chori, nevertheless, the Lokeach Rishon has the right, as we saw before, to say Lo Nichali B'Hai Takana. And that ability to say Lo Nichali B'Hai Takana, that right, that Zchus, is sold together with the Karka to the Lokeach Sheni. And if the Lokeach Sheni, in this case, purchased Idis, leaving the Beninis and Ziburis in the hands of the Lokeach Rishon, Kerech Sheni, who bought Idis, has a right to say to the notion, you know what, I left in the hands of the Lekech Rishon, Beinanis and Ziburis, then relative to my situation, that's the B'nai Chori here. And therefore, when I purchased this Idis, my das was that I have the right to say to any Noshe, go back to the Lokech Rishon, I left Karak and his Rishos, and collect from him. Fine. That's Rava number one. Now Rava gives another din, we'll call it Rava number two, in the case of somebody who purchases all the fields of the Lova and only sold part of them. Omar Rava, Ruvain Shemachar Kol Sadosiv LeShimon. So Ruvain is the Lova, Shimon is the Malva, and Ruvain sells all his karkos to Shimon. No. I said that Shimon was the Malva. That's a mistake. Ruvain is the Lova from, let's call him Levi. You know, to follow the names of the Gemara. And he, Ruvain, the Lova, sells all his karkos to Shimon. And amongst them there's Idis, Beninis, and Ziburis. For Halach Shimon, now Shimon Lokech Rishon, went ahead, Umachar Soda Achas, Lelevi. So if you take a look here at Rashi, Dibra Maskul Umachar, he says that he sold the Beninis to Levi. Okay, so I gave a bad example because I said the Malva was Levi. That's going to just confuse us. The name Levi in the Gemara is designated exclusively for Lokech Rishon, who purchased Beninis. And we'll have to call the Malve, or the Balchov, we'll have to call him Yisachar. Uba Balchov de Ruvain, now Yisachar, the Balchov of Ruvain. Ruvain again was the Lova. And he wants to collect his debt from the Lekuchos. Now again, the Lokech Rishon is Shimon, but he sold one of the three karkos, Beninis, to Levi. And now Reuven has no nechassim left to pay up his own personal chov, Reuven the Lova. Now, when we talk about Yisachar, the Malva, he really has a choice. Rava says, Ratzami Zegova. He can decide, because he has rights to collect Beninis, that he goes to the Lokech Sheni and he collects his Beninis from the Lokech Sheni. We call him Levi. Or he has rights to go back to the Lokech Rishon, and the Lokech Rishon has Idis and Ziburis, which he purchased from Ruvain the Lova. Is he can decide, this Yisachar, this Malvi, he can decide that he wants to collect Ziburis from Shimon the Lokech Rishon. Now the Gemara clarifies this. Lo amorin elo dizavan beninis. This halacha that allows Yisachar the Balchov to collect from Levi, that's only because Levi purchased Beninis and Balchov can collect Beninis. Avol Zovan Idis Viziburis. Suppose Levi didn't buy neither Idis nor Ziburis, and the Beninis is now in the hands of Lokech Rishon and in the hands of Shimon. Is Lo, then Rava would certainly agree that Yisachar the Malva has no rights to collect from Levi the Lokech Sheni. The Amar Levi, because Levi can protect himself with the following argument: Lahachi Daiki Vizavni Idis Viziburis. I was particularly careful to purchase Idis and Ziburis, leaving Beninis in the hands of Lokech Rishon, in the hands of Shimon. Ara Deloch Hazilach. I bought Idis and Ziburis, which is not the karka that is designated for you, for the Balchov, to collect. So that's the argument of Levi to Yisachar, as we said. And therefore, Yisachar has no wherewithal other than to collect from Shimon the Lokech Rishon his Beninis. Oh, Gemara goes on and says, Vafilu Zavan Beninis. Even if, let's say, Levi did collect Beit Anis, Nami lo amar, we still don't say that the Baal Chov can collect from Levi the Lokech Sheni, Ella the Lo Shayer, Beit Anis de Kavase. Maybe there are two karkos of Beit Anis, and one of them was purchased by Levi. Levi was very careful to leave one karka Beit Anis in the hands of Shimon the Lokech Rishon. Is the Lo Motzi Omerle. He nachtilcha makom legabi Shimon. Is in such a case. Okay, well, let me just finish it up. Aval shir beinanis the kavos gabi Shimon lo gavi mine the motzi omer nachtilcha makom legvos mimenu. If Levi was very meticulous to guarantee that he didn't clean out Shimon's. Beinanis, he only took half of Shimon's Beinanis, or one of the two karkas of Beinanis, then he has a right to say, Levi, that I was very careful to leave Beinanis in the hands of Shimon. He's the Lokech Rishon, he's first on the collection board, so to speak, on the chopping board. But if he, Levi, cleared out from Shimon the Lokech Rishon all the Beinanis, then, Rava said before, the Baal Chov has rights to collect that Beinanis from Levi, from Lokech Sheni. Omer Abaye, Ruvain Shemachar Sodel Shimon Bachrayas. When a person sells a karka, then the seller accepts upon himself a chrayas, because that seller might be also a lover who borrowed money, and the Baal Chov is going to collect from the mocher, the Baal Chov is going to collect from the lokeach. The mocher has to guarantee the lokeach that in such a scenario, if heaven forbid that's what happens, he, the mocher, is also the lover, will guarantee the money that the lokeach paid for this karka will be returned to him. I'm not exactly sure when he'll have the money to the liquid assets to pay that up. Now, the Asa Baal Chov de Ruvain Vitaraf Mishima. Now, Ruvain, the seller, the lover, who's left without anything in his possession, and he cannot pay the loan. So, what happens? By defaulting on the loan, the character that he sold to Shimon is now going to be collected by his Baal Chov. Dina hu di ozel Ruvain mishtoi dina ba'ade. Ruvain could now have a court case. Ruvain the Mocher could have a court case with his own Baal Chov in a case where he, Ruvain, claims, for example, that he was already Poreachov. And therefore, basically what Reuven is saying to the Baal Chov is, you have no right to collect from Shimon. You have no right to collect from Shimon as a collateral, so to speak, through the laws of Sheba to guarantee my loan, because I already paid you up the loan. V'lomatzi omeli, but wait a second, the Baal Chov can turn to Reuven, l'chora, I mean, this is what Abai is coming lafuki, and say, la pal dvarm didiat. You have no right to stand in front of Beis Din and have adjudication with me, because you're not a baldover. You know, you already sold this karka. I'm coming to collect the karka from the lokeach, and that's it. It's between me and the lokeach. And you want to put forth arguments here that are not relevant to you. You're out of the picture. You want to protect the interest of the lokeach. Says Abai, no. The Omer Le, Ruvain the seller, who's the loaf, has a right to turn to the mouth and say, Imifkadit mine, if you'll take the karka out of the hands of Shimon the Lokeach, Olai Hodr, he's going to come back to me and demand the money that he paid me in return, to be returned, because I sold it to him with a chrayas. The Gemara says, Ve'ika di Amri, there's another Lishna, Afilu Shaloba Chrayas Nami. Even if the sale of the karka from Reuven to Shimon was without a chrayas, even so, Reuven could come in a judgment in Beis Din in front of the Baal Chov, in front of we call them Yisachar. Okay, now the names have changed, but in any fate, in front of the Baal Chov, the Omer Le, and even though at this point you would say that Reuven, the seller, is out of the picture, because if even in the worst case scenario that the Baal Chov confiscates the karka of the lokeach, of Shimon who bought the karka from Reuven, Reuven is not responsible. But nevertheless, the Omer Leilo Nichli de Tehevi l'Shimon Tarom is a lie. On a moral level, Reuven has a responsibility to Shimon. Why? Because Reuven sold a soda to Shimon, and as a result of the shibud on this soda for a chov that Reuven, the seller, defaulted on, now Shimon, the buyer, is going to have to suffer the carcass ripped out of his hands, out of his possession. And therefore, in terms of the moral commitment, if you will, or responsibility between Reuven the Mocher and Shimon Lokeach, in that context, Reuven is a Baldover. He's a Baldin. Okay, Rabbi, we'll stop here.